Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here in about 15 minutes or so, we'll get to the trash of the day. And of course, don't forget a little bit later on, it's a Fan Club Friday. 1 o'clock hour, Mackenzie Nelson from 41.
A cooler full of drinks.
From 41 going to join us. Yeah, drinks. She's fresh off a Midwest Emmy Award.
Wow.
That's right. We're inviting award winners to this show now.
I got nominated one time.
Did you?
Win. Yeah,
I'm guessing.
For my documentary on Haiti. Probably the least likely thing I would ever.
Would not have expected that answer, yeah.
Been associated with. Huh. I'm a serious person.
Hmm.
Journalistic standards.
I've been told I don't think I'm getting an Oscar for my Hallmark movie.
Damn.
I don't think it's Oscar worthy. You know, I tried to walk down the street very well on the sidewalk, but I don't think it's going
to
bring me home an Oscar. But maybe our next guest has. Are you award winning, Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I think one year I got, like, most improved left tackle in middle school.
Nice.
So I've got a trophy for that somewhere. Gold, I'd give you some sort of award for that little short film you put out from a pool in Las Vegas. Like, that's got to get you something.
Hey, Briscoe, since we've got you, I know we can't take this. I would like to build a bronze bust of Steve Spagnuolo. They say they don't want me to raise the $10,000 for it. I suggested maybe a Spags gala that we could all attend in order to pay for it. Thoughts on Spags bust being paid for now by us, the fans?
I paid, I think, $70 for an In Spags We Trust t-shirt. So if you could just give me, like, a brick on the ground that says, like, not even Joshua Briscoe, that just says, like, at JB Briscoe, if I can give you, like, $100 to go into the Spags statue, I think that's a pretty good idea. Do you know where you're going to put it? Like, would it go
I'm taking it directly to the facility,
would you go put it in Kansas and try to, like, coax the team over there anyway? Does it just go in Spags' backyard? Does Maria get to take it? I don't know.
I am directly delivering it to, or one of us is, to the facility to see if they'll just put it up there. But if not, Spags can take it home. I'm open.
Visualizing security tackling Cody as he's carrying a box towards the facility.
But we could do facsimile signatures to Briscoe's point. We could do facsimile signatures for anyone who donates on the bottom of the statue.
You could also get this done cheaper without going, like, full bronze. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, carve it out of foam. I want it to stand, but I think there might be some other ways. I mean, I'm sure you've done the legwork here to figure out what's the most cost-effective way to immortalize.
Yeah, like plaster and other stuff, but I feel like that's not immortalizing him well enough.
No,
I think if you're doing this, it needs to be a bronze. And a guy who makes him locally for the Chiefs Hall of Fame says he'd do it for $10,000.
I mean, I guess, get out your Venmo, I guess. I think we could raise this money pretty easily, and that would be a hell of a grassroots campaign, man.
I'm going to get $100 out of you, Gold.
No chance. And what the funniest thing about this whole thing is, I know Briscoe's a big fan of Steve Spagnuolo, but like 2 years ago, I had to convince the very man that's trying to start the bust movement. I had to convince you that
it was 2 years ago, but it was. At
so
some point in
that's
the show.
That's what's funny. But anyway, let's talk about. We can start with this defense, though, heading into the Broncos game. Yeah. We were discussing the Broncos offensive line. Surprisingly, one of the better units and pass downs in the NFL. This is a really good test, it feels like, for the front four. We know Spags can manufacture blitzes, but can they get pressure now that Mike Dana is going to be back in the mix?
Yeah, and I think you hopefully want to see a little more Joshua Uche as well, a very, very limited debut for him last week, and he's a completely different type of pass rusher in that mix. Having Dana back is certainly a good thing, but you kind of know what his what his suite of moves are, right? I mean, he and Karloftis both kind of have this, like, cave-in, march-you-back kind of pressure while Chris Jones is crushing the middle. That's a good mix. It's just different than what you're hoping to see out of Uche, or really kind of what even you may hope to see from Felix, although he's been better on first and second down so far, which is kind of funny, but still a positive. It will be an interesting test, though, because to that point, and Spags talked about this in his pressers yesterday. You know, somebody asked about, can you tell that Bo Nix has played a lot of college ball? And somebody asked about, you know, it's another rookie coming in and how good he's been against rookies. And Spags, very fittingly and very in character, said something like, yeah, we get all these rookies. I just keep wondering when we're going to get one that's not so good. It's like, all right, Steve. Like, I think he's 1-11 against rookie quarterbacks, as the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs, with last Christmas and Aiden O'Connell's, you know, scoreboard lighting performance being the one exception there.
The one completion in the second half.
Yeah, that guy. So that wasn't exactly Spags' fault there either. So I think he's going to bother Nix. The interesting thing, though, to that point, is that he has seen a little more football than your average NFL rookie, and I wonder if the Chiefs do want to be blitzing or try to rely on that front four a little bit more. I think they have the best suite of talent they've had in that unit in a really long time, adding Uche and getting healthy with Dana. I am very, very intrigued to see what that relationship looks like between how Spags attacks Bo Nix and how Nix responds to that over even just the first couple of drives. I think will be pretty telling. Give it two or three. Don't react off the first one right away. But by the end of the first quarter, I think we're going to have a pretty good idea of how that's going, and maybe if Spags is going to come out in the second half with something totally different.
When you look at what the Chiefs are going to do offensively, because this is like the only thing that makes Denver annoying. Yep. They're good in the trenches, right? Like, yep, just enough to frustrate you. Offensive line-wise, where is your confidence level now versus the beginning of the season? They've settled into Wanye. Juwan's okay. Middle's great, obviously. The center of the offensive line is fantastic.
My inclination was to say that I'm in a slightly less confident place than I was before the start of the season, but I think that's me reacting to the negative a little bit more than the positive. Left tackle's been a little worse and right tackle's been a little better. So I don't want to just get Juwan Taylor to the point where he's been competent and frankly better than that, and then I just forget to even acknowledge him. Cause that's what the middle of the O-line often is. You get highlights, and at worst case, you're trusting total competence and confidence in that trio. Juwan Taylor has really been playing some good football for the majority of this season, getting the penalties behind him. So that has been an important step. I am worried with the Broncos pass rush that has just sort of overachieved and overperformed consistently throughout the year. I don't think it's fluky. I'm just a little surprised by how they got here.
Yeah.
The fact that you do have some distrust on the left side with Wanya Morris, also the fact, and I think I don't know if Nate brought this up or if it was a commenter during our show yesterday, but the field is also going to be at the most tested the Arrowhead turf has been in ages. You obviously have the game last week. You have KU there on Saturday, and then the Chiefs and Broncos are out there at noon. It sounds like the grass is going to stay a little bit longer, and like it was a little longer against the Bucks as well, to try to help it weather all that activity. All that to say, if you get another wet, long grass, messy game, I don't need Patrick Mahomes on a bum ankle trying to outrun whoever Wanya Morris loses to, when that inevitably happens a few times. And maybe it's yet another 25 carry game for Kareem Hunt to try to offset your point there about the Broncos' strength in the trenches.
Am I hearing Josh Briscoe setting the stage for people to be critical of the university in Lawrence, that would be Kansas, if there's an injury, or if if KU plays there, they rough up the field and the Chiefs were to lose on Sunday? You're saying we were going to be blaming the University of Kansas. That's what I heard.
What I'm saying, that's certainly not what I said. What I will say is, if that happens, you can start getting angry at the decision makers many, many levels up.
Okay.
That will not be anyone's fault for any of the players, certainly, from the University of Kansas. If you want to talk to Mark Donovan or something, that's fine. But I don't, I mean, to this point, it seems like it's been okay. And the Chiefs The Chiefs have a legitimately excellent staff that monitors all of that. Like, it really is one of the best in football, and there's been stories of that over the last several years.
Yeah, we're
but
releasing.
But it's something to watch.
No, I hear you. No, I was giving you a hard time. I think it'll be fine as well. We actually are coming out later on today, maybe, with our official, the first ever, I don't think anybody's ever done it, you know, the groundskeeper rankings. You know, we do power rankings. We're going to do it for groundskeepers in the NFL.
That's really good. I have some real thoughts about Eddie Mangan and the Super Bowl where the field turned to slate on the ground with paint freezing in place. I can come back for that segment if you'd like.
I'm just saying, for our insider, I mean, right after that bad Super Bowl field, we straight up, the man himself, right? the sod father said, yes. I'll tell you off the record. I'll tell you exactly what I think. He said he wouldn't come on the air, though. He told
oh,
us.
Oh, really?
He buried the NFL and the people who were taking care of the field. But that man keeps it private.
He buried Eddie Mangan on the Lebatard show. Yeah. That's the one that I remember because it was just like a 20-minute like piece of performance art. Just listening to this old man who is a legend of his craft with no bleeps left to give, just saying, here is what they did wrong. Here's how I would have done it better. Here's who's at fault. It was an incredible airing of grievances.
Obviously, one of the smallest things, and this only matters probably a little more obvious, one of my favorite things about him as a person is that essentially in the Super Bowl, he's a petty thief. He takes towels and stuff and then labels them from what Super Bowl to like give them to presences people. He just takes like little things off the bench and gives them to people. What an amazing thing to do.
George Toma, legend. Absolutely a legend.
We're talking to Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI. What about the injury situation? Juju Smith-Schuster, Turk Wharton did not practice again yesterday.
But
Mike Dana is back. Nazi Johnson's back for this thing on Sunday.
Johnson being fully back is huge. He hasn't been limited at all this week, so that's obviously a good sign. Juju, I'm like perpetually kind of in that state of worrying about. I mean, it's funny, like it was the week after his big game, you go, you know, I just don't build the entire offense out of Juju because you don't know when he'll just sort of disappear for 4 or 5 weeks. We're in that now, and they remember that hamstring for Juju popped up in a week of practice leading up to the Niners game, and then he played for a tiny bit and then exited. We're getting close to IR territory from that cutoff, so I think the Chiefs and Juju, for that matter, have been kind of trying to track what exactly is going on there. It's not great, but I don't think it's going to matter against the Broncos, and obviously DeAndre Hopkins has solved a lot of those issues since the last time that Juju was on the field. Nazi Johnson's the biggest positive there, I think. Wharton, Andy Reid said on Wednesday, was a knee contusion, so thinking like a bruise and everything, where you shouldn't be long-term concerned about it being a knee, but I could see if he doesn't practice today, I'm assuming he won't play on Sunday, and that is a loss. He's been excellent, but the Chiefs do have enough depth at D-tackle. Maybe you get a little more Derek Nnadi and Mike Pinnell to kind of offset that. Again, stuff that I don't think will cost them against the Broncos, and that might be more important, honestly, certainly for Juju and probably for Wharton. Be ready to go for Buffalo next week, and we'll be able to make it work against Denver on Sunday.
As it sits right now, not the entirety of the accomplishments on the season. As it sits right now in week 10, are the Chiefs a top 5 offense in the NFL?
Yeah.
Then see, I'm curious because like I think if you asked nationally, the answer would be no. But they're just ignoring all of the third down efficiency, the 28 points a game they're scoring over the last 4 weeks. I think I'm with you. But I think if you asked nationally, Briscoe, that's not what the answer would be.
No, I think you're probably right about that, and I think it's a little bit of fantasy football, a little bit of red zonification of all of our brains, and also just knowing what the standard for the Chiefs has been. And again, you know, we've been in this literally every single day for years and years and years, but I think a lot of people still think about the 2018 Chiefs as being the peak of Patrick Mahomes. It's not the peak of him as a quarterback, but it was statistically, and frankly, like in a lot of ways, it was the most fun. And so I think you could look around, and in some ways there's a little bit of truth to the idea of like, how can they keep doing this without Tyreek Hill? That was the best they were supposed to be. That was when Travis Kelce still had the fountain of youth on his side. The funny thing now, though, is if you do watch it every week, you can be a little bit surprised by the evolution, and it's an impressive evolution at that. But you're telling me that this offense with Patrick Mahomes, with Travis Kelce back in 100-yard game territory, with DeAndre Hopkins looking like DeAndre bleeping Hopkins, and everything else they've been able to do in the running game with the offensive line, it's pretty evident to me that this is absolutely a top five offense, whatever, from here on out, or however you want to set it. But I understand how the highlights don't tell that story. Like, if you are just watching a little bit of every offense, you're kind of trying to keep up with the box scores and everything. It isn't evident that way when you watch the games it is, and not to, you know, pat our collective selves on the back. But, like, that's the power and the importance of local media, right? Like, even the national analysts that do a really, really good job, and there are plenty of those, even they have only so many hours in the day. All we do is watch Chiefs football for 6 months, and soaking into all of the details that this team has put out there, we can see, this offense does move the ball incredibly well. They were held back by red zone issues and turnovers. They're beginning to fix some of those, and they're clearly a top five offense in that regard now, in my mind.
Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI. Appreciate it, man, and we'll check in next week.
Sounds good. I'm going to see if I can win an award in the next 6 or 7 days.
Please
anybody
do.
Has any suggestions, let me know.
Please do. Yeah, it's been a little while since anybody associated with this show has won an award. You were nominated.
I've been nominated for awards. I don't know. I guess I got some in college for like Missouri Broadcaster Education. I won some of those. You want some of those for
maybe
the Kansas
side? Yeah, maybe you're going to have is there some award you get for new faculty at UMKC or something? Are you qualified for that?
Like,
do you get qualified
year,
for that?
Does it have to be one class? So it seems unlikely.
So you're out. Adjunct professor's not eligible.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just assuming. I don't think I've made that kind of impression yet. You know? It's like, I think I'm deserving. Truth is, I'm not deserving a faculty of the year.
Nobody's dropped out of the class?
Nobody's dropped out of the
class. That's a good sign, you know?
Had to put my grade, my final grade update before. We've only got like, my class only has like 3 classes left. Because we got like 2, then Thanksgiving break, and then like 1 after Christmas, and then, or 1 after Thanksgiving break, and then we're just done. It's pretty much a
wrap.
This
wasn't a 100 level class?
This is a 300 level class. Back next semester, by the way, if you want to take it. Same class. If there's enough kids enrolled, I guess. I don't know. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting people know. That's all. Someone says absolutely we'll blame KU for that field.
I know that's what's going to happen. Look, KU, I think it'll be fine. The Chiefs do have a great grounds crew. And KU, part of their contract, they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for resodding. Now, they don't have time to resod it this time, I think, is the issue. But they'll have that thing. They'll work overnight. What do they got to do? It'll be fine.
It looked a little rough after one of the Kansas games a few weeks ago. So, like, I'm not...
But what Briscoe said is true, that... sounds like the grass will let it. They're not going to cut it as short, and so that'll help it maintain itself. I don't know.
Cody was a 3-time hot dog losing streak. That's 4 times, and that is a record. So if I could get a trophy for the most losses ever in the hot dog derby, I'm essentially the Cincinnati Bengals. I've had a lot of close calls. You know, do you feel good about my chances of winning more because of all the times I was close in the race?
You sound like somebody else I know.
Who's that?
About results.
Eventually, you would think if you're good enough. Then, yeah, you'll get one eventually.
Someone from the 816 said, can I audit your class? I'm an alum. Don't know how that works. They don't tell me all the rules, man. They just give me like a handbook and I, you know.
You don't even have an ID?
No.
I don't have an ID.
Physical ID. Although I think I'd like to get one. I'd like to start taking advantage of these teacher discounts that exist.
Oh, do you?
I think that's fair.
I'm a teacher.
You are.
I can't get 20% off a crumble cookie just because I don't teach elementary school.
Out of all places you picked, and those cookies are great. Out of all places you picked, that was the first thing that came to mind for your discount was
supplies.
The first thing you thought of for your discount was crumble cookies. Like, and they are great.
Teacher discounts all over the place.
I know.
I could be taking advantage of this.
So do you really care about those students, or are you just wanting your 20% discount?
I mean, I haven't even started using it yet, so I care about these students. You can question me later.
Cody's there for the perks. That's what he's there for.
You know, I don't think it'd be all the worst thing.
Does that discount apply to your bronze bust idea? Do you get a discount on that for being a teacher? We can check in on that one. Yeah, let's get to the trash of the day. All right, this one takes us outside the United States. There is a police sergeant in Osaka who was referred to prosecutors on suspicion of illegally using electronic money. And you're like, okay, what's the big deal here? Well, the deal is the officer himself was in charge of a special fraud investigation. There were several cases at the time in which elderly victims were unfortunately tricked into purchasing electronic money cards at convenience stores.
Okay.
Those criminals would pilfer the code number on the e-money card over the internet and use it for payments.
I'll give you a second. Get that cough out.
Get a drink. Promise Cody doesn't have the article in front of him, I don't think.
Get
Pull
a
it
drink.
Up just in case.
Yeah, I'm doing that now. I thought you were going to explain
so
it.
So after,
realize...
after purchasing these cards, the victims would have a code number to the suspects. Well, this was all on file, and it turns out the officer that was investigating this fraud, he's suspected of having added the e-money into his own smartphone, using it to pay for smartphone games. So he's investigating crime on these elderly victims.
And he's ripping them off?
And he's taking the codes that were still active from the investigation, and he used the money to play smartphone games. He's an idiot, because it's very traceable.
Yeah, incredibly traceable, and I don't know why you would do that. You're just like, well, I mean, I can't, like, give it back to them, so I'll just continue to keep this stolen money. But if you know the victims, couldn't you hypothetically return some of the cash? Even if it's an e-money form?
I don't know. It says the officer told investigators, quote, I had no intention of taking the e-money for myself, and I was trying to protect the victim's property.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. By what? Buying up some extra lives in Candy Crush? Have you guys ever spent a cent buying something additional for a game on your phone?
No.
I've never spent a penny. People must do it.
Of course.
Otherwise, these microtransactions don't exist. I have never given a penny to any phone app game.
No, and even that goes...
an expansion pack for a game I played when I was like a kid and stuff.
Yeah, but like even recently, even on, if you're talking about Xbox or something, where people on Madden will buy these Ultimate Team packs or whatever, like packs for their old... People spend thousands of dollars on that. I've never done. Yeah, because people try to have the Ultimate Team. There's other contests or whatever they can do.
There is a there's a trending video on social media where this guy, his girlfriend found out how much he spent on like Ultimate Team points.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, "You're not even that good." And it was like a whole video.
Like someone says,
money on?
Dude was buying gyms for Clash of Clans.
Remember when Clash of Clans was like
gyms for?
Remember when that was the game?
Everyone in the Royals Clubhouse was playing
the game. I mean, it's obviously still popular, but that was the number one game for a very long time. There's so many of them. Like, every once in a while, if I'm really bored, I'll download a game on my phone, but I have to be super bored at the time to do that. And then even then, I'll play it for like a day or two, and then I end up deleting it 3 days later.
There's temptations, though, with the phone games because they put so many ads in them. You're very tempted to pay for the no ads, but I haven't gotten to that point where I'm willing to drop $3.99 a month or whatever for no ads in a game.
A lot of you were saying, Cody, get ready. Your kids are going to want you to buy up these kind of things on eventually here pretty soon.
That's Roblox, dude. They already want. But so
you do it or
don't
no?
Buy. No. They're fine. They can still play the game without it. They'll be totally fine. Like, I bought a video game for the first time in a very long time on the kid's Switch yesterday because I was sitting around the house so much, and I didn't want to, like, just scroll on my phone.
You were playing games or you bought games for your kids?
I bought a game for me on there. So what? I can't play a game?
Hold on.
So I can't play a video game?
So you were home yesterday playing Nintendo Switch? Sleep.
Only for part of the game. I bought one of the new Zelda games. Well, it's like the older one of the most recent ones. The Breath of the Wild is what I went with. Thank you.
And back in the day, Zelda, Ocarina of Time. Oh, that was a classic. That was so good.
I never played it. Felt like a good game.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Did you play it? I mean, did it?
I played it. Okay. I didn't play it all day or anything.
Yeah.
I played it for a little bit to kill some of the time. We're just sitting on the couch with a sick kid.
Someone says
well, they're watching their own shows.
Angry Birds. Someone said they knew someone that spent thousands of dollars on Angry Birds and Clash of Clans. I can't imagine. Like, everybody has their own thing, I guess, but like, thousands of dollars on a smartphone video game is wild.
I'm just waiting for the text to come in. So while Gold and Drew were talking about the Broncos and Bo Nix, Cody was playing video games.
That's right. That's
it. Better use of my time, you know?
That's right. Yesterday we talked about fantasy football a little bit, not only with Charge, but you missed the scenario in my personal fantasy league. And I prefaced it, said, hey, I know nobody cares about anybody else's fantasy football league, but there was a scenario that we could all relate to. There was a very questionable trade yesterday that went down.
What
eventually
happened?
Got vetoed. Basically, there was the third best team in the league traded with the worst team in the league. They happen to be brothers as well.
Oh,
okay.
Fishy.
It's a keeper league. And then the trade, the good team got Jahmyr Gibbs. The bad team was getting Rashee Rice and Jonathan Brooks. One guy hadn't played all year. The other one's out for the year and might miss the beginning of next season. Caused a whole issue in the league. Ended up getting vetoed by the commissioner. And it's over now. But that was the dilemma yesterday that we talked about while you were playing games on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, the text line does say from the 816, Breath of the Wild is a top 10 game of all time. So
really?
Very complimentary.
Is it?
It's like a big, I don't think it's the style of game you've ever played. Like,
but
based
I liked,
on our conversations.
I liked, back when I was a kid, okay. I liked
like big RPG, like world building.
Like, I never played Final Fantasy. I never played Final Fantasy, and I thought it was extremely popular.
I played a lot of Final Fantasy as a kid.
So, yeah, that wasn't it. But no, I think it was N64. The gold, remember the gold cartridge of the Legends of Zelda Ocarina of Time, I think.
I still have that in the basement.
There you go.
If you're
play
desperate
the,
to
you
play
would play
it.
The thing that get the horse to run to you. You know what I'm talking about?
The ocarina.
The ocarina, duh. Yeah,
that's
the ocarina.
The thing you mentioned
yes,
in the title.
You would play the ocarina. You'd have to memorize the thing, and then the horse would come, and you'd just ride the horse around and with the bow and arrow and shoot.
Our Chiefs insider, yeah. Joshua Briscoe, is texting us because he does not think we have proper gamer representation on this show.
Probably not. He's definitely way more of that than
hey,
you
hold
and I.
On. Alex Gold used to have a gaming podcast.
I did back
when
in the day, Briscoe.
Did you really?
Back in the day.
What was it called?
Well, I had my own website.
Yeah. What was the website?
Gaming Talk HQ or something. This was back in junior high and everything. And yeah, I got video game companies were sending, you know, 12, 13 year old me free Rock Band. I got the Rock Band for free, everything. Nice. And I was getting, I was ahead of the Instagram influence. I was a few years too early. I'm just telling you, could have been an influencer on Instagram.
100%. I stay in my lane when it comes to video games. I don't go outside of my, like the whole open world thing, try to get into it.
Those are the only kind of games I feel like I play. Well, with my kid, we play like Super Mario Odyssey or Smash Brothers or whatever.
All right, up next, guys, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk a little bit more about what happened in the red zone. Even though it's been better, there was still one instance that I think annoyed some Chiefs fans. We'll explain what that was.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's next?
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
So we know the trade deadline is in the rearview mirror. That ended on Tuesday, and the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins on the offensive side of the ball over a week ago, almost 2 weeks now. And last night during Thursday Night Football, it was Baltimore and Cincinnati, and it's only two games, okay? It's only two games, but Deontay Johnson in his first two games with Baltimore, it was a name that we all talked about. We would have been happy if Deontay Johnson was traded here. So far, two targets, one catch for 6 yards. He also slipped on what would have been a 19-yard completion for Baltimore. To this point, he's done nothing. And it's not, by the way, you can't even say that they're not throwing the ball and like Lamar's just running. No. Lamar's putting up insane numbers too.
He's second in passing yardage in the league and first in passing touchdowns.
We'll see. Maybe this will change. It's two games in fairness for Deontay Johnson. So let's fast forward a month and see where it's at. But right now, if we're just asking like early returns on Amari Cooper or Davante Adams or DeAndre Hopkins, Deontay Johnson, they're not getting anything yet out of that trade in Baltimore. It makes you feel better about landing D-Hop.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just think that the fit was better. But I also told you that was the whole thing. Is like sometimes when the compensation comes out and you're like, that's it for Deontay Johnson, huh? That tells you how many teams were calling. Okay, it just does. It tells you the number of teams interested in that player. And also last night,
the only
game,
one to go on the East Coast too. That was the thing from Nate Taylor. He wanted to stay out east.
And I, obviously we can look at it, we can talk about it more when we talk about the Cincy and Baltimore game from last night. So Baltimore's defense last night is another reason why you said, how much worse is Baltimore's secondary in Kansas? I'm like, significantly.
Yeah,
that's why they're out here bargain bin shopping for Tredavious White. They're getting cooked. The worst secondary in the league.
The one, because there was multiple, Jamar Chase deep pass for a touchdown. Yeah, but there's busted coverage. Who knows? I mean, it was awful.
Any of you guys up against Jamar Chase in fantasy? I am in
one. You already lost this week if that's the case.
I am in one league. And in Guillotine, the Cody and Gold Guillotine League, I have Jamar Chase. I picked him off of the corpse of Drew's roster in week two.
It was crazy.
Yes, the corpse that it was.
There's somebody.
I mean, it was week two.
Somebody in our
Nobody
league
seems
had,
any good in week like, two.
Somebody in our league, I think, had Lamar, Chase Brown, and Jamar Chase last night. And I think he already has 115 points or something. It's just an insane.
I had Chase Brown and Guillotine,
too. Yeah, just insane stuff. So, anyway, we as you said, we will talk more about where Cincinnati's at, Baltimore after a great Thursday night football game. But for the Chiefs, while we've acknowledged they're way better in the red zone right now than they were 5 weeks ago, and it's a big reason why the uptick in scoring 30 points, 27 and 26, 28 over the last couple of weeks, there's still you can't help yourself moments because in the second half, they finally went back to the run, and they ran it four straight times with Kareem Hunt. I think they passed maybe two after that, and they were just being a physical team. The Bucs all of a sudden did not have an answer for the rushing attack, and it was the best drive of the game. And then all of a sudden, it's first and 10. I don't know. at the 15-yard line, and they had to do a jet pass, jet touch pass to Mecole Hardman, lost yards. Now, nobody remembers it because after that, the next play, Mahomes threw a touchdown, and we all thought his season was over. So nobody, like, that one got lost
in
the shuffle.
It got lost in,
But that was frustrating at the time because, like, they were dominating, physically dominating the Bucs at that moment.
All I'm asking for, and this is, like, again, nitpicking over an 8-0 team, which I think sometimes you can always be better. Andy Reid doesn't say that sentence 200 times a week because he doesn't believe it. Time and place, Andy. All I'm asking is time and place. The two times they ran a trick play in the last game, they were sticking it to them. Hell, I can't remember who wrote it now. One of the writers over the Kansas City Star who covers the Chiefs wrote an article pointing out correctly that the Chiefs ran the same fundamental play 12 times against them last week.
Yeah, I didn't read that. I saw it come across the timeline.
Yeah, there's a video breakdown. And look, variations of that play, yes. But the same play 12 times, which is a Kareem Hunt-style run that seemingly worked every single time in perpetuity without fail. And if that's the level of success you're having, they were first and 10 and first and 10 both times gold. And they were moving the ball with ease, having no issue, clean and easy, no problems at all. And then they ran a reverse to Worthy that lost 10 yards. And that, like, quick pass to McCole. I'm like, why now? If you're working through their defense like a hot knife through butter, now's not the time. I think when, like, your offense is working and you can't quite figure out when or how or these things, I think second and short, third and short, if you know you're going to go for it on fourth, those are great times to throw in wrinkles, to surprise teams, to throw them off. First and 10, when you just march down the field to the 20, is the worst time to give Xavier Worthy an end around, in my opinion. Time and place is all I'm asking for.
That's kind of stuff. I mean, we can bring it up. I don't, that stuff's probably just never, it's just never going to change.
Yeah. Being a play caller is probably not easy, I'm assuming.
I was actually super impressed, though, that in the second half, they did go back to the run. We discussed this on Tuesday because that was a frustrating moment at one point when they weren't running the ball in the first half. I know they weren't having success, but there was some people that were like, well, then they just can't run, just abandon it altogether. And I'm like, no, you can't abandon that. And they went back to it, thank goodness, in the second half, and Kareem ended up having a huge game and obviously the walk-off touchdown in overtime. But, you know, some of that stuff, you're right, it's nitpicking. That's why anytime we do these radio interviews in other cities before games, like in Denver last night, they're like, what do you guys even talk about after these games? Like, what do you say? You know, and it's true. I mean, it is very minute stuff compared to any other city. Really,
well, we're talking about Super Bowl. Those things.
Yes, the bar is very high.
Is about winning the Super Bowl in February. We talk about the things in week 8, week 9, because when those things either go away or they make adjustments, look, like last year is actually kind of a perfect example. And last year they weren't undefeated, so like it's a little bit different. Last year in week 7 or 8 gold, you and I were hammering the fact that I could not understand why they wouldn't just throw Rashee Rice the ball 10, 12 times a game. And that he was so obviously their best wide receiver. Why were they wasting their time throwing it to anyone else? It's not that I didn't think the Chiefs knew that. The question was just, why aren't you accepting it and just going to it now? They had their reasons. They obviously won the Super Bowl. The pace in which they took those decisions didn't matter. But I do think time and place, that's where Andy could improve on those. I'm not against the idea of running formations to confuse the defense. That's what Andy does. That's part of what has made him successful. But when in that game in particular, didn't it seem egregious? That first one, and maybe it was because Xavier Worthy had dropped the pass let the pass go out of bounds on the one before. So they had gotten 3 points in the first two drives, and it's like, and one ended because of that weirdo end around to Worthy when they were moving the ball so well. I was like, ugh, didn't get a touchdown on the last one. And now this, gross. I don't like it. I want more points. And they still scored 30 in that game. I'm not here. But like, I just, be wise about when you attempt it is all I would tell Andy.
But what about Sunday against Denver, though? And with that said, the red zone stuff, at times, you know, you can call it cute, whatever you want to call it. Against Denver, though, this kind of game, it feels like it's going to be a low scoring game as well. Like I know we just got done saying how they're scoring 26 and 30 and 27 and all this. Doesn't this feel like this is the game where the style of game. It's going to be a noon kickoff. That this is more of a 23-17, much lower scoring game. Denver last night thought I was crazy when I said the Broncos were scoring 17. They're not confident they're getting to 17. They're like, oh, what do you kind of think the score is? And I was like, eh, they're like 23-17. They're like, well, Broncos fans will be thrilled to get to 17. They don't believe that. Well, they're also coming off. Remember, they're coming off a game against Baltimore where they scored, what, 10? So that I think that's probably part
of teeth kicked
that's in. Probably what they're thinking. But they're not consistent enough. Like the Chiefs defense has an opportunity to once really dominate this game. This is, other than Gardner Minshew, the worst quarterback they have faced all year. They've played some good quarterbacks.
That's kind of crazy.
They've played Burrow and Lamar, and they've gone up against Kirk Cousins and Herbert. Derek Carr even. Yes, he is better. They've played some Brock Purdy.
As it sits right now, Denver is the 23rd ranked offense in the league. Points per game wise. The Chargers, by the way, are 24th. So the team they only gave up 10 points to.
Yeah, so this is basically the same, ranking wise, and I don't know where the Chargers were at the time the Chiefs played and whatever.
Probably about the same. They didn't score a lot of points. They played like week two.
It still could be the worst offense the Chiefs face to this point of the season. Is that right?
Until they play the Panthers. Vegas is worse, 26th.
So they're in that 23-26 range.
Division. And hold on, side note. My God.
Well,
can anyone in this division score? They got a rookie quarterback with Sean Payton. That should have some points attached to it. Justin Herbert, I was told, was one of the five best quarterbacks in the league a couple different times. Obviously, I don't think people view him in that ilk right now. Raiders make sense. That's not a mystery. But three of the 10 worst offenses in the league reside in the AFC West. Now, look, maybe Kansas City's contributing to that. Chargers had to play Kansas City. That's going to hurt them. Raiders had to play Kansas City. That's going to hurt them. Kansas City is one of the best defenses in the league. My fear in this game, the way they lose in this game is the turnovers come back again. Same thing applies. But they could just lose in the trenches, and this game could be 13-10, 14-10. I do think if Kansas City gets in the 20s, it's over. I think if they're able to move the ball well enough against a very good Denver defense, that they're in the 20s, it's a wrap.
Yeah, I guess maybe my judgment on this is clouded because of what the Ravens just did to them. There's numbers that definitely support the Broncos' defense have been very, very good. Maybe it was just one bad week. But when you give up 40 points, it's hard for me to be like, oh, that was just
hard because Kansas City hasn't given up more than 28 in 3 years or whatever.
We acknowledge the Ravens, other than the Lions, might be the best offense in football. But the Broncos, to give up 40 points, that to me, yeah, there's always outlier performances. But if for me to actually view you as one of the best defenses in football, it's tough the week before to see you give up 40. And for me to be like, oh, man. This Broncos defense.
Who do you think is the best defense in the league? Pittsburgh? Like, if it's not Kansas City?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm just trying to
you and I have gone back and forth on the front seven and TJ Watt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great defense.
The Steelers, to me, are a better.
Just Preston Smith, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big trade with
the
Packers.
In your defense, like I'm looking through it now, right? Because right now, the number one points per game defense in the NFL is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay.
Like, I know people don't expect that, but they have not given up more than 27 points in any game this year. Matter of fact, against Kansas City, they only gave up 17.
That's how they've given up five wins.
Yeah, they've given up in the teens a lot. Now they should win more games if they had any kind of functional offense.
But that's also they're bare bones on offense in multiple spots. They gutted that roster they needed to, and that's why I think Harbaugh has got them headed in the right direction. Whether it gets results this year or it'll be next year under Harbaugh, they could go out and fix, quote unquote, fix the offense. I don't know under Harbaugh, they're going to win a lot of games over the next couple of years, but
yeah,
I don't know if they'll ever be a top 10 offense under Harbaugh. The way he plays, his style, going to run the ball a lot. Like Herbert is going to have a tough time with Harbaugh as head coach having the numbers that we see a Lamar, a Mahomes, a Burrow put up. Just not in, I'm not saying he's as good as those quarterbacks, but also it's not an excuse for Herbert. I'm just saying that offense under Harbaugh, look how he called it at Michigan. Mm-hmm. Look what he did when he had Kaepernick and Alex Smith in San Francisco. Usually it's not going to be an offense that is a top three, top five offense. That's not the MO of those kind of teams. Typically quarterbacks, JJ McCarthy didn't put up insane numbers at Michigan. No.
In your defense of saying Denver's defense might be fraudulent, I looked up the other top five defenses, which actually includes six teams because there's a tie for fifth in points per game. Not a single other one of those defenses has even given up 30 points in a single game this year.
Wow.
So like the other top five defenses are doing what you're saying. Never waver, never fail, do those things. Denver gave up 41 at least the one time. Now, I would say that is by far, 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 far and away the anomaly versus what they've given up the rest of the season. They've actually only other given up 20 points one other time this entire year. They gave up 40 to Baltimore. They gave up 26 to Seattle. That is the only time they have given up. I'm sorry, they gave 23 to LA. So they've given up 23 times.
And that goes back to why this goes back to the view of the Broncos this year. And just like I said with even Cincinnati, results are results, and the Broncos have found a way to win some football games.
Yeah.
But you look at their schedule and their wins. Yeah, it's Carolina and New Orleans. Their most impressive win was Tampa. Somehow they beat Tampa. They blew them out. I don't know how. I don't know
Tampa was at full strength.
I don't know what happened in that game. It makes me want to go back and watch that just to be like, how they didn't just win by a field goal. They blew out the Bucs. And
maybe there were like 80 turnovers or something.
I'm not sure. I don't even think it had to have been, because I don't think Bo Nix threw a touchdown pass in that game either. And yet they won by multiple touchdowns. So something bizarre happened. But the Broncos, I think, are slightly fraudulent. But look, they found ways to ultimately get what matters most, which is the win. But they haven't beat anybody.
Division game, annoyance. I predicted blowout last week, and I was wrong. They were close. So it'll probably be the opposite this week. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think they are an annoying team. They cause problems for teams because they're just good enough to be annoying. That's really what it kind of boils down to. I looked up that Denver box score, by the way. He had one rushing touchdown, no passing touchdowns. They had one rushing touchdown from McLaughlin, one rushing touchdown from Bo Nix, and four field goals.
What was the time of possession difference?
Really what the difference was is they held the Bucs defense or the Bucs offense down. You want to know they kicked their ass? It was because Baker Mayfield only had 163 yards and turned it over twice. So time of possession was heavily in favor of Denver. They only had 352 total yards. I mean, they didn't put up 450 on them. They had 350 total yards, averaged 5 yards per play, and just, I don't know, beat the Bucs. It's the, you know what you can chalk that game up to? It's the NFL, man. Like, that's just the way it works. I know I trash Bo Nix a lot coming into the season.
He's 3 years younger than Lamar. That's it, I think. Isn't that right?
I mean, he might be 3 months younger than.
I think you could say he's definitively a top 20 quarterback right now. Well, which I know, again, is not saying very
much. Maybe 20.
But I think he's top 20.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty loose bar, I guess.
I know it's a loose bar, but I just
I mean,
think
yeah, I'd take him over.
Fine, we'll give him 20th.
I mean.
Are you taking him over Bryce Young, Russell Wilson?
Not over Russ.
Gardner Minshew.
Over Gardner, sure. Over Bryce Young?
Yeah.
Like, if you forced me to restart a franchise,
Daniel Jones,
and I got to have Andy Reid, like, let's just say it's a Chiefs situation. Patrick Mahomes decides to retire from football tomorrow, and you said you're going to restart the entire franchise, and you can either have Bo Nix or Bryce Young. I'll take Bryce Young.
Of course, I'll figure out 100%.
The ceiling is way higher.
100% yeah.
The ceiling is way higher.
So, like, that's where the whole 20th thing comes into play here. The conversation
of
who's playing better versus who you would let me choose. Give me
different.
Bryce Young. I'll let
you
Andy Reid
figure choose
that out.
Anthony Richardson over Bo Nix, I think, right now still.
Maybe.
I think you would still do that. Because
Bo Nix looks like he's just really straight, like gearing up. Oh, getting loose, feeling good, ready for 8 years of being the 19th best quarterback.
I told you his peak.
And that's just sad behavior for a first-round quarterback.
His peak is 15th in the league. His peak is top 15.
It's not a good peak.
I know, but
means in your best years you're 15th, and in your bad years you're 23rd.
I think there are a lot of franchises though. If you look back at just who, like, there's you would
franchises.
Take a top 15 quarterback.
Bad franchises settle for top 15. That's Derek Carr.
I agree with
bad
that.
Bad franchises just settle for the Derek Carrs of the world.
I hear you, and that's, you know, there's definitely true to that. And I think this is where some teams have gotten into trouble, because it's like, you know, do we move on from this guy and restart, or we're winning 9 games every year kind of thing, and it's a tough spot. But also, I think in Kansas City at times we look at what Mahomes is, he's the best quarterback in the league, and then we just think everybody else stinks, and you shouldn't have any of these other quarterbacks, because if they're not as good as Mahomes or Burrow or Allen, then what's the point? And it's like, that's just not how you can operate. Like, we rank out top 5 quarterbacks because there's only 5 of them. Like, we act like we're stunned when there's a 12th quarterback. We're like, well, he's not good enough. Well, like, there aren't 12 quarterbacks that are top 5 quarterbacks. Like, literally,
that's not how top five works.
It's just not how this whole thing works. So I hear you that, like, it's very easy to be like, well, we know we have the 11th best. Let's just cut them and move on. Like, you just. that's just not how the league operates. And you can be like, well, why not? It's just the GMs and the coaches,
I think
their
the
job
is people
security.
Pay a lot of the 19th best. Maybe. 11th, maybe you're just trying to build a roster.
Like someone brings up Trevor Lawrence. Like someone brings up Trevor Lawrence. Like I know he, and he's having a terrible season, and he has not been as good. But also at the same time, they're just going to let Trevor Lawrence walk, guys? Like no, that's just. You're like, hey. Well, they should have. Well, then what? Well, they'll go draft one. Well, they thought they found one, and he was like the number one overall pick, and he's still not good.
So
to say, like, just move on from and go find one in the draft, there's no guarantee whatsoever. I mean, again, they spent what they thought was the guarantee on Trevor Lawrence, and he's at best going to end up probably being like the 12th best quarterback in football.
We had Sean Barber on
not this year.
for an hour yesterday, Cody. And
oh, thanks. Sean filling in for me, obviously.
God bless Barber, but Barber texted us this morning and said the Bengals need to move on from Joe Burrow and get a rookie quarterback.
Well, that's crazy.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Because they don't spend the money. They need to spend the money properly. This is the thing. He gave me four players in this list of guys to go and get. It was like Derrick Henry, Legarius Sneed, Reddick. Tell me what you get. You get the Cleveland Browns, a generationally great defense that wins no games. That's the Cleveland Browns.
Joe Burrow is the second highest paid quarterback in average annual per year. But I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
The Bengals have $60 million cap space as well for next year.
Let's not kid ourselves here. Do you know how many quarterbacks make above like $50 million? It's like 10 of them. And like
this is why we're this coming off season, they're gonna have to rework Mahomes' deal again this offseason.
Tua makes more than Tua makes 53. Yeah, technically Mahomes is only 45 a year, but it's all these.
I bet this offseason they come up with some either extension restructure type of situation.
How many more years does he technically have left on his deal, Mahomes? I forget when he even signed the deal. 3 years, two years ago? Is that how long it's been? 2-3 years?
Yeah, probably.
He signed a 10-year, $450 million deal. Where are we at? We're now in 2024. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because there's the rolling guarantee mechanism stuff. It looks like, from what I can see on SpotTrack, till 2031 when he's 36.
Jeez.
They'll just tear it up and start
Of course.
It'll still be like cap-friendly. There'll still be mechanisms or whatever.
Because next year, it's $66 million cap hit.
He's not an unrestricted free agent until 20. He has a void year in 2032, according to spot over the cap. So,
good thing for that dead cap, because I'm sure they're going to really be worried about having to make a decision whether to retain him or not in a couple of years.
My issues is not with these teams that have, like, Justin Herbert and, like, well, don't pay him. My issue is for the teams that have, like, Daniel Jones and, like, what are we going to do? You're like, cut him. Get anyone else, you idiots. We all know it's a problem. And you're just like, but we have to. And you're like, but you don't. You objectively don't. Just move on to somebody else.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending here on a Red Friday, and we will talk about what happened with Cincinnati and Baltimore last night, what it means for the postseason, and I will commit one thing to all of you next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.